south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, for all you bookworms out there, people who like to read or people who still know how to read, I think that's a lost start, right? Now, you know, I usually read about 2 books a week. I've been doing that since I was probably 12 years old. My mother forced me into a great books club. We had book report meetings on Saturday mornings at the Catholic school. Really, it was to keep us troublemakers in one room on a Saturday morning. And believe me, that room was full of little nerds. Of course, the term nerd hasn't been coined yet. And a good measure of hyperactive kids like me. Yep, nerds and troublemakers. That's why they sent me, because I caused the teachers way too much trouble. Used to always get D's in conduct, and the nuns used to whoop me quite a bit. But I aced everything else, so they couldn't kick me out. And they didn't have any psychotropic drugs yet, like Ritalin. Back then, there was no way to turn kids into virtual zombies. I remember Sister Jerome. She used to have a long pointer with a rubber tip on it. Man, my hands still have the scars. Yep, I remember. She used to line the bad boys up in class. This is fourth grade now. Make us hold out our hands and then whack them. And then make us flip our hands over, and she whacked the backsides then too. Hey, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to give up that Catholic education for a minute. Because, man, did they concentrate on the discipline. In fact, I remember Sister Reginald saying to my parents at a teacher's conference, I was destined to be a success. And it was her job to make sure I wasn't a successful criminal. But anyway, I was in this great books club, and we had to read a couple of books a week, and on Saturday mornings, we'd meet, and would have to give book reports on the classics. So since then, I got stuck in that habit of reading a couple of books a week. But there is one guy I know who isn't an English major, who I'm sure has read more books than I have. Captain Mango. Got to admire him for that. Though we have completely different tastes in books. He likes to read novels and such, and I like nonfiction almost exclusively. You know, science, sociology, philosophy, and biographies. So then, why am I bringing all this up? Because I'm going to now tell you my personal pick for the best book I've read all year. It's just tremendous. If you want a copy of this book, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll shoot it off to you. It's called The Madness of Crowds by Charles Murray. Believe me, after you read it, you'll never feel the same about the world again, especially not the U.S. So then, what does it have to do with living in Latin America? Well, after you read this, you'll not only want to crank up your plan B, you'll want to supercharge it and get the hell out of Dodge as soon as is humanly possible. In fact, I should give you a little excerpt from it right now, a little teaser. So let me paraphrase and condense this little section right now so you get an idea of what it's like. It's from a chapter called Silicon Valley is Not Morally Neutral. Oh, and if you think it's going to be boring and highbrow, boring, it's not. In fact, once you get going on it, you can't put it down. Anyway, here's the little excerpt. As anyone who's spent any time in Silicon Valley will know, the political atmosphere is several degrees to the left of liberal arts college, with social justice activism assumed, correctly, to be the default setting for all employees in the major companies. And most of them, including Google, put applicants through tests to weed anyone out with the wrong ideological inclinations. Those employees who have gone through those tests recount that there are multiple questions on issues to do with diversity, sexual, racial, and cultural. And answering those questions correctly is a prerequisite for getting a job. Is it possible there are some guilty consciences at work there? For tech companies are rarely capable of practicing what they are so willing to preach. For instance, Google's workforce is only 4% Hispanic and only 2% African American. Yet 13% of the U.S. is African American. And with 56% of white people employed at Google, they're not overrepresented compared to the wider population. But Asians make up 35% of Google's staff and have been steadily edging out and reducing the number of white employees, despite Asians making up less than 5% of the U.S. population. Where's the social justice Google claims to preach? In their own ranks. Then it says, perhaps it's the cognitive dissonance this creates which makes Silicon Valley wish to course correct the world. Meanwhile, it's not course correcting itself. Major tech companies like Google now employ thousands of people on six-figure salaries whose only job is to formulate and police content. In fact, at one recent conference they had on content moderation. Wow, they have content moderation conferences? Wow. Anyway, it was pointed out that Google currently has 10,000 people and Facebook 30,000 people employed just to moderate content and search preferences, making Silicon Valley the most social justice-obsessed region in the world. For example, it says Twitter will ban women from tweeting, quote, men aren't women, or, quote, what's the difference between a man and a trans woman, unquote. Nope, those tweets are unacceptable, with Twitter claiming those tweets and tweets like it hateful content, with Twitter permanently banning people from the platform that were found to have dead-named or misgendered trans people. All right, meet Johnny here. You know, I didn't even know what dead-named was. I had to look it up. It means calling a person by their given birth name after they've transitioned. I didn't even know that was a sin. So, the moment that a person says they are trans and announced a change of name, anyone who calls them by their previous name or refers to them by their previous gender gets their Twitter account permanently suspended. Man, am I glad I'm not on Facebook or Twitter. All right, that's enough of that. You get the gist. But again, back to why I'm bringing this up. Because really, if you're not well along on your plan B already, making moves to get the hell out of Dodge, after you read this book, after you read the first chapter of this book, you'll absolutely be convinced that there's no hope for the U.S. of A. With Europe, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia just as bad. So anyway, if you want a free copy of this astounding book from Johnny's library, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. I guarantee not only will it drop your jaw, you'll either get depressed or terribly pissed off. Oh, and if you think the author of this book is some kind of conservative bigot, just the opposite. He's a multiple award-winning, Oxford-educated, gay British social scientist who's had 3 books on the New York Times bestseller list. And him being gay is what makes the content of this book so interesting. He absolutely hits the bullseye on things people don't want to talk about or hear. Now, another reason I'm mentioning this book is because you've heard me say many times on this show that Latinos don't know what the hell's going on in the United States. They just don't get it. They're totally confused. The snowflake thing, social justice warriors, LGBT, WTF, cancel culture, Black Lives Matter, reparations, QAnon, Antifa, etc., etc. You need an armful of scorecards to tell the players apart. And I'll tell you, it's almost impossible to sit down, even with a very bright Latino, and explain it all to them. Their eyes just glaze over in disbelief like I'm talking about another planet. It's just too complicated a subject to go into in just 10 or 15 minutes. The good news is this book, The Madness of Crowds, just this month has been translated into Spanish. And I'm going to order a few copies because it really is a fantastic 21st century history lesson that lays it all out in a way I could never sit down and explain to anyone. Again, I think everyone who's got their plan B underway has to read this thing. That's why I'm giving it to you. If you send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Oh, and speaking of social justice and gender equality, I was on the phone last night with expat Eddie, yeah, and he said, Johnny, the world will only be truly equal when women find ugly, broke men attractive, and men start falling for ugly, fat girls. Pretty crude, but leave it to expat Eddie to reduce a complicated problem to its nub. Though you will find if you've got trouble with the opposite sex, and I'm talking about you guys and gals living up in the States right now. If by chance you're no Jennifer Lawrence or Brad Pitt, you longtime listeners have heard me say this before, and it's totally on PC, what else is new? But whatever number you were on the scale from 1 to 10 in your hometown, be it Milwaukee, Cleveland, New York, whatever, once you get to Latin America, whether you're a guy or a girl, gringo or gringa, you can automatically add 2 points to that score. It's part of your gringo advantage. And it doesn't really matter if you believe what I'm saying or not. You have to come down here yourself and see it. Now, you longtime listeners have also heard me say that when you're on the gringo tourist trail, for example, Costa Rica, you get 0 extra points because the gringos have invaded, the population's jaded, and your gringo advantage has been nullified. You're just a dollar sign. However, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, your gringo advantage is alive and well, let me tell you. In fact, just the other day, once again, I was in an elevator, and I overheard one Latina telling another how beautiful she thought my blue eyes were. She said it softly, in Spanish, of course, and obviously, when you're off the Gringo Tourist Trail, the locals assume almost always correctly that you don't speak Spanish. So sometimes they speak openly, as if you weren't even there. But here's the kicker. The other lady replied that one of her nieces was born with blue eyes, but unfortunately now they faded to light brown. But at least, for a while, she said, they had a blue-eyed kid in the family. Now, I'm asking you, would you ever hear that kind of a conversation in an elevator or anywhere in Chicago, Detroit, or Cleveland? You know, in the States, the color of your eyes, in the vernacular, doesn't mean dick. And get this, just yesterday, I was sitting in a waiting room at a doctor's office at a big clinic. And being that we're in the age of COVID, you had to sit one chair apart from the next person. Now, I was sitting there maybe a half an hour. And during that time, sitting one chair apart from me was a beautiful 30-something Latina who'd shoot a glance at me once in a while. After all, I was the only gringo in the room of maybe 30 people. The oddball. I'm in a big city, but like I said, I'm way off the gringo tourist trail. And after about 10 minutes, you know, you're just sitting there. I had my iPod on listening to an ebook. I took my earbud out and I said to her, "Do you live around here?" In halfway decent Spanish, of course. And man, did her eyes light up because I was speaking Spanish. You see, Latinas really do prefer gringos above all others. And Latinos, Latin males, prefer gringas above all others. And if you don't believe that, you're not a very good observer. In fact, my own Latina girlfriend, a Venezuelan, is always remarking that waitresses, waiters, and people behind cashier counters always seem to give me preferential treatment. Because you're a gringo, she says. And she's also told me more than once, when a Latin girl has a gringo boyfriend or husband or whatever, her friends are jealous and envious because they think she won the lottery. And not just the monetary lottery either. We know she's won that because we make so much more than the average Latino. But the genetic lottery too. Because, you know, the reality is, and as un-PC as this sounds, all Latinos want their kids taller, fairer, lighter haired, and if possible, to have clear eyes, ojos claros, that would be green or blue eyes. And the only way to attain that in one fell swoop is to hook up with a European or a U.S. gringo or gringa. If you ask them, they come right out and tell you. And I really do get better service everywhere I go. It's part of the gringo advantage. As one 30-something educated Latino guy told me just a few months ago, he said to me, and I never heard this before, but it makes sense. Being a gringo in Latin America is like being an airline pilot in uniform. When you see a guy like that walking down the street, checking into a hotel, or just walking through the airport, he's got this automatic kind of sheen to him, like a B-grade rock star. And believe me, that's what you are as a gringo here in Latin America when you're off the gringo tourist trail, that is. And why? You really have to watch out with this love, dating, mating, and romance thing, too. Look at it this way. If, for example, you had trouble with women or were an introvert, or maybe just a 3 or 4 or a 5 on the 10 scale, now you're in Latin America. Suddenly, you've gained 2 extra points, and your opportunities and choices become exponentially larger. But you don't really know that. It takes a while to figure it out. And if you know any Spanish at all, man, are you a catch? You longtime listeners might remember 8 years or so ago now, I told the story of how I just couldn't learn my Spanish. After 2 years in Costa Rica, I had to get out. Not only because I couldn't learn my Spanish, the Costa Ricans always wanted to speak English with you because tourism is their number one industry, and so naturally, they want to speak English. Besides that, my business partner ripped me off, and all my other gringo friends got ripped off there, too, so I had a bad taste in my mouth for Costa Rica. You may have heard me tell that story, too. It's in the show archives. So anyway, I left Costa Rica after 2.5 years. Ended up in Antigua, Guatemala, because I heard it was a really good place to learn Spanish. They've got a ton of Spanish schools and immersion families that'll take you in for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. Well, wouldn't you know it, I was with my immersion family. You know, just a regular middle-class Latino family. That would mean basically trailer trash, first world style. Anyway, as soon as I got there, it seemed like every night after dinner, we'd be sitting in the living room watching TV and company would come over. Someone would knock at the door. I thought, hey, this is an extremely social family. Every night company. Soon enough, I realized every night a different aunt or cousin or niece would come over with her 20-something single daughter or other unattached female family member. I guess I was a little thick, but it took me a couple of days to figure out they were parading all the eligible young lady family members past the captive gringo living for a couple of weeks at Uncle Fernando's house. And really, up in the States, if I was to honestly grade myself in the looks department on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm certainly a 5, and on a very good day, nicely cleaned up, maybe a 6. Nothing to write home about. And believe me, I never had that kind of female attention up in the States, except when I was playing in a rock band. But, you know, it's a different kind of attention, you know, not so serious. But in Latin America, they were trying to hook me up permanently. So, bottom line, you single guys and gals coming down to Latin America, you got to be on the lookout for that. Take your time, really. Don't dive in. Though Latinos are polite and astute enough not to throw themselves at you, you're not going to get that. But you'll find all you have to do is open your mouth first to break the ice. And if the gal or guy is single, you'll be amazed how really friendly and open they are. Unlike, for example, up in the States, if you're a 4, 5, or 6 on the 10 scale, you may have been rejected so many times, you're simply gun shy. So you've lowered your standards and don't shoot any higher than a 4, 5, or 6 like you are. I mean, look, it happens a million times a day up in the States. An average-looking guy like me tries to talk to a girl that's way up on the scale, and she'll treat him like a stalker, give him the evil eye, or just tell him to f*** off. That's why so many guys, after years of that, just lower their standards. The difference is, here in Latin America, even if you run into an absolute stunner and try to talk to her, she'll smile, treat you like a real human being, and really give you the time of day. It's just another part of that gringo advantage. Though, after all, it's always been the girls, the females, who make the rules and the love, romance, mating, dating thing. There's no gender equality there, especially not on the first encounter. Ladies, you know, especially when words are first being spoken, you completely control the situation and can shut that guy down and make him feel like an idiot with just a look. You don't need words. And, you know, new green gringos and expats coming down from Detroit or wherever, they're used to that kind of thing, used to being shut down up in the States. So they assume it's like that down here in Latin America, too. It ain't. You don't have to believe me, especially you guys up in the States who've been shut down all your lives trying to approach a girl you know is out of your league. Well, down here in Latin America, you have to throw out those preconceived notions. Minimally, you'll find no girl will treat you badly when you come up and talk to her. They'll always be exceptionally nice. I'll use this example. Many times I'm looking for an ATM machine to pull out some funny money. When I'm in a new Latin town or city and I don't know my way around, I'll ask a young lady walking by if she could tell me where the nearest safe and secure ATM is. In Spanish, cajero automático. That's automatic cashier. And I'll tell you, practically every time, she'll stop and help you. And she'll smile and be glad to do it. And guess what? And this has happened to me too. And remember, I'm a solid 5, maybe a 6 on the scale. Plus, I'm over 50. I haven't got the age thing much going for me anymore either. And guess what? And this will never happen to you up in the States. At least a third of the young ladies I ask for directions will stop what they're doing and walk me over there, even if it's a couple blocks away. Come on, would that ever happen to you in the States? And guys, believe me, if that happens, that's your chance to say, hey, would you like to have a cup of coffee? I'm new in town and I don't know anybody. That way, I can practice my bad Spanish on you and you can practice your English on me. And believe me, I found that's the best icebreaker of all because Latinas want to learn English. And us clueless gringos, we want to learn Spanish, of course. So what might start out as a kind of a give and take, you learn my language, I'll learn yours, and we'll sit in a coffee shop and work it out. Well, that will often turn into a blooming romance. I've seen it happen dozens of times. Now, of course, American gringas coming down to Latin America don't have to play any kind of games like that at all. Because we all know ladies have the upper hand and control at first contact. But ladies, use a lot of caution here because every single gringa I know who's come down and hooked up with her own young Antonio Banderas has been cheated on. Yep, ladies, even if they marry you, they're going to cheat. Hey, you've heard me say this many times, but my own Latino friends tell me they've got this cheating gene in them. It's been passed down through generations going all the way back to Spain. Yep, they truly believe they're genetically predisposed to cheat. Whereas with Latinas, the ladies, that's not necessarily so. That's why they're over-the-top jealous. In fact, the jealousy topic will come up. She'll mention it. It's happened to me every time. And the problem with that, as I see it, is that Latinas and Latinos, they equate jealousy with love. They figure if you don't have a jealousy tantrum once in a while, you don't love them anymore. Same thing with Latino guys and gringas. The guys think if the gringa is not throwing a jealous tantrum once in a while, she's lost that love and feeling too. And really, I can see why most Latinas are toxically jealous. Because every last one of them, I mean, every last one of them has had a boyfriend or husband cheat on them. And that's why, and this has happened to me many times, I'll be going out with a Latina for a while, and suddenly she'll want to inspect my phone. They're always a bit suspicious because their boyfriends have played so many games. In fact, you've heard me say in a past show that many, many, perhaps the majority of Latinos, even ones who haven't got a pata pian, they have two cell phones. One for the wife, girlfriend, or family, whatever, and one for the girls or mistress he's got on the side. And still, even though many of them have two cell phones or two SIM chips, they eventually get caught in the act. And so Latinas have learned, since cheating for the males is a genetic thing, right? So they've been told over and over again. When the guy finally gets caught, there'll be a tremendous blowout. She'll kick him out, dump him, and block him on her phone. Then soon enough, maybe in a day or two, the guy'll knock on the door, bearing flowers, get on his knees, even shed a few crocodile tears. You know, Latin guys seem to be able to do that on command. I don't know how they do it. It almost always works the first time. Works a little less effectively the second time they get caught. Eventually, the girl just can't take it anymore, and she truly does dump the guy. That is, unless they have kids. Now, here's the real problem. Practically every Latina's father, uncles, brothers, etc. have been caught cheating. And sometimes, believe it or not, the daughters and sisters will run interference for their brothers and dads. For us, it really is a strange kind of dysfunctionality. So Latinas are kind of trained, since they're old enough to figure it out, that their mothers and sisters, the ladies in the family, will have to deal with it. So then what about Latinas cheating on their boyfriends and husbands? Let's face it, the guys have to be cheating with someone, right? And why wouldn't they? Just to get revenge, maybe. You don't think I'd let this subject lie when I can speak Spanish and dig out some of that personal information from the occasional Latina who's been cheated on and willing to spill the beans. In fact, once I was sitting with expat Eddie at a gringo bar, and the bartender said to me, "Johnny, what's your favorite sport?" Expat Eddie answered for me. He said, "That's easy. Johnny's favorite sport is talking." So anyway, I've asked dozens of Latinas about ladies cheating on their men. About 3/4 of them said they were very loyal and they would never cheat on their boyfriend or husband, with the other 25% admitting that they had cheated, but only after they discovered their man had cheated first. So according to my unofficial polls anyway, Latinas are much, much more faithful than the guys, though some will cheat, but only after they've discovered their guy's been doing it all along. Though unfortunately for expat gringas, coming down from the States to Latin America, looking to get into the mating, dating, love, and romance thing, I can't caution you enough about how Latin guys will eventually serially cheat on you. And though I know some very good-looking, hot gringa ladies that have come down to live in Latin America, ladies with a plan B, girls who surely had the pick of the litter up in New York, Chicago, or wherever they were living, well, it turns out some of those ladies were so overconfident, they said to me, "Johnny, once I find Mr. Latino right, I'm not worried. I know how to handle guys." And she'll say that because she's been able to pull that off up in the States because, well, she's maybe an 8, 9, or a 10. And girls like that do have quite a bit of power and control over men up in the States. It's undeniably true. When a very hot, beautiful girl walks in a room or a party, she's got a certain subliminal hold or control. Well, the truth is it'll work when you get down here too, but only for a while. Because even if you're Miss America, it's built into a Latin guy's psyche that he has to conquer women and keep conquering them. He needs to feed that Latino macho conquistador gene. I mean, look, we all heard someone say at one time or another, up where you live, up in the States, "Guess who broke up? Guess who cheated on so-and-so? I can't believe he did that. She's so beautiful. She's got everything going for her. Smart, beautiful, great shoes, minimal ink." And the guy's friends, who were a bit jealous, thinking he had the best catch in the world, think he's touching the head for cheating on her. Though a situation like that might be a bit rare up in the States, in Latin America, it's a way of life. You see it all the time. Guys cheating on the most beautiful girls on the planet. But everyone puts up a good front. If the couple's married, they'll still stay together for years and years, especially if they've got kids, because the Latin guy has all the resources. If they get divorced, she'll end up with the kids. And if he doesn't come through with the alimony, and after a while, most don't, her lifestyle will go from middle class or upper middle class right back to taking the chicken bus again. So the fact is there are millions of married, beautiful Latinas who live a life of silent desperation, staying in a relationship with a cheating guy they're stuck with. Because if she opts out, The lady of the house could say goodbye to the cleaning lady and the health club membership. Oh, and one more thing. As to being a very handsome gringo with a plan B living in Latin America, I know a few like that, by the way. In fact, one of my best gringo friends from my old Latin American radio days. He was such a tall, handsome specimen, the girls went nuts for him. He had those sort of fluorescent blue eyes, too. Definitely a 9 or 10 on the lookism scale up in the States. So you can imagine the effect he had on ladies down here in Latin America. On top of that, he was a real intellectual, too, and pretty much an introvert around people he didn't know. So what became of this guy? Well, I'll tell you this, on two different occasions. One, sitting down in a Burger King. No, I wouldn't eat their food. I was just there because it was a meeting up place. And once in a food court. We sat there, and a girl, a Latina, neither of us had ever seen before, walked right up and pushed a piece of paper in his hand with her phone number on it. Now, me being a solid 5 or so, well, that's never happened to me, except in Vegas. But you know, those working girls are pretty aggressive. Oh, and guys, when you get a phone number from a Latina, you don't have to worry that she's messing with you. In other words, giving you a fake number, you know, to blow you off. I understand that's terribly common up in the States. Down here, when they give you their phone number, it's the real thing. Oh, and another thing, and this is going to sound very un-PC. Who cares? Gringas, ladies from the States coming down to find love, romance, etc. If you're fishing for a guy, you might as well go for a guy who has tons of dough or parents with dough. Because truthfully, ladies, even if you're a 4, 5, or 6, you could practically have any unattached Latin guy that you want. And if your ambition is to get married and have kids, why settle for a handsome Latino middle-class guy? Because as a gringo, those upper-class doors are wide open to you, too. So why am I bringing that up? It's because I know lots of handsome Latino guys who don't have a pot to piss in, though they look like they do because they spend every last cent on looking good, their clothes, their grooming, a decent car they've missed a few payments on. Hey, look, they're all fantastic dancers, so they go out to the discos on the lookout for gringas. And they know how to turn on the charm. And gringas are bowled over by the way they dance. So look out for guys like that, unless you're strictly out for a good time. If you plan on doing the family thing, don't settle for a guy like that, please. You'll be making the mistake of your life. Because guess what? You'll end up supporting him. My advice? Why not check out all the expensive high-end shopping malls? That's where all the wealthy, well-groomed sons of the rich are hanging out. Ladies, you know the old saying, your mom probably mentioned it. It's just as easy to marry a rich guy than a poor one. Then again, this is all my opinion based on 30 years down here. So take it or leave it.
South of the border.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.